So we're in the bottom now of Beizim and Beizim, in the middle of the sugya, and the Gemara had been discussing the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel when a beitza is laid on Yontif, whether one can eat it or not. And Beis Shammai says one may eat it, Beis Hillel says one may not eat it. So the Gemara first had suggested, Rav Nachman suggested, that the whole machlokas was based on muksa, whether muksa or nolad was something relevant. Beis Hillel thought muksa and nolad is a concern, and Beis Shammai thought otherwise, we're not concerned with nolad. We rejected that. And then Rabbah came along. Rabbah said, no, the whole issue is hachana, whether you require hachana beforehand or not. That you need a weekday to prepare for a yantif. But if yantif falls out on a Sunday, that means Shabbos was that which prepared for yantif on Sunday. So therefore, we were not allowed to use a beta late on Sunday because it was mechin on Shabbos. That's a violation of Nisa Deraisa. So now the Gemara is going to suggest two other approaches. We're now two lines from the bottom of Beizim and Beizim of Yosef Amar. Gzeira mishum peres hanoshim. The reason why you cannot have an egg that was laid on Yantif, not because there's a problem with the egg itself, rather because there's a gzeira that if you have an egg that was laid on Yantif, you might come to also have fruits that fell off on Yantif itself. So they'll be similar. They're both falling from something. An egg falls from the chicken and the fruit falls from the tree. So lest you come to eat the fruit that fell from a tree on Shabbos. So Gemara says that doesn't really make much sense because I'm really by a peros hanoshim time am I. What's the reason why you can't have a fruit that fell on Shabbos? That itself is a gzera shema yala v'yidlosh. Because if fruit fell on Yantif, there's no problem with eating that. You didn't do anything wrong. The violation of having a fruit that fell on Yantif is, wait a second, if I'm going to eat this apple that fell today, I might come to pick an apple directly off the tree. And that's a violation of kotzer. So then, if gzera of the peres hanoshim itself is a gzera, asks Gemara, he gufa gzera, vanam nekim v'nigzar gzera. We don't add one gzera on top of another gzera, meaning that if the peres hanoshim, the fruit that fell off, is one gzera, I can't add another gzera, and a beitza that was no little yontif is a second level gzera. We don't do ein gozen gzera al gzera. We don't do that.
Why would it be a second gzera? It's just a different type of the same gzera, no?
Well, that's what the Gemara says. In essence, the Gemara says it's all one gzera. That's the answer. But firstly, it was two stages. Stage one was you can't have peres hanoshim. And then they made a second gzera of don't have a beitza because that might lead you to eat a peres hanoshim, which might lead you to actual kotzer. And then the Gemara responds, no, kulachat de gzera. It's all one gzera. When they were concerned that a person might come to rip off a fruit from the tree, they said, we're gozer on two cases in one shot. You can't have a fruit that fell off, and you also cannot have an egg that was laid on Yomtif. Okay. Now, this is long Tosos on the side here, Gzera Shema. We're not going to go through the whole thing, but he asks the following question. Towards the bottom of Tosos, he says, why can you take off a fruit? Aren't we allowed to do Ochel Nefesh? I'm hungry. I'm allowed to cook. I'm allowed to Shech on Yomtif. I'm allowed to do certain things. I could do Borer. I could do Hotzah. I could carry things.
Well, that for sure is a gezeira. You shouldn't do it on Shabbat.
No. Now, on Yontif itself, the Pasuk says, you're allowed to do certain things. So you're asking Borer. So certain things of Borer are allowed, certain things are not. You can't do things that are more tircha on Yontif of Borer, but Borer itself is permitted. Well, it's a different. So why isn't Koter permitted? I should be able to take the fruit right off the tree. Tosus says further, there's a Mishnah that tells us later on, you can't catch fish on Shabbos. Why not? It's Ochel Nefesh. I want to eat the fish. On Yantif, yeah, certain lachas are permitted for Ochel Nefesh, so why isn't kotzer allowed? He says, in terms of the trapping, in terms of catching fish, the reason why he initially says is because, let's say I catch a non-kosher fish. I catch, I don't know, a swordfish, which itself is a discussion whether that's kosher or not. I catch a swordfish on Shabbos, on Yantif. So that wouldn't be Ochel Nefesh, or I catch any other fish that's not kosher, that even though I intended on having a fish that was kosher, this turned out to be a non-kosher animal, that wasn't a Ochel Nefesh. Tosis says, no, that's not can't be the answer, because that would be Mlacha Shena Tzuchel Gufa. Fine, so what's the reason why you can't catch and you can't do Kotzer on Shabbos for Ochel Nefesh?
We're talking about Yontif
only. On Yontif, only on Yontif. I keep saying Shabbos, I apologize, I'm talking about Yontif alone, I apologize. On Yontif, things you can't do on Yontif, you should be able to do all these things because it's related to Ochel Nefesh. So why can't you trap and why can't you do Kotzer? So this is what Tosos writes, this is how we paskin. There's a few opinions though. If you look at the last few lines of this Tosos, right above the Dibur Mascha Rebbe Yochanan, two lines above that. It says, Al Kain Perish Rabbeinu Nisanel Mikinun. Debiushalmi it says yesh ach asher yochab chol nefesh. That's the source of melachas permitted for ochel nefesh. The samich lei it juxtaposed to ushmartim es hamatzos, which is what we're up to now. Osam melachos shemishimur ve'elech heim mutaris. All those things, whatever you require shmir for the matzah, from that stage, the sudur, the pas of making bread, from that point on, dehainu melish ve'elech, from kneading and on, that's what's permitted for ochel nefesh. Not every melacha, not all 39 melachas, and not all melachas are related to food. Only that which is similar to shmir of matzah. So that's from lisha and on, from kneading and on. Kotzer takes place before lisha, ripping off the food from the ground, from this tree. That's before lisha. That is no chiv of shmir, according to this Tosfos at least, Yushalmi. So too, there's no het of ochel nefesh from kotzer. Okay. Now, there is a chumra in terms of matzah. We are machmir to have mishas ktsira. So oftentimes you find in the boxes, mishas ktsira. That's a different discussion. Okay, so back to the Gemara now. So that's the explanation of, this is all Rav Yosef's explanation. Why is Beitza Shenol Dabiyantiv Aser? Because Shema Yalav Yitlosh. You might come to rip off a fruit from the actual tree. Then the Gemara says, Rav Yitzchak Amar Gzeira Mishim Mashkin Shezavu. No, the different concern. It's a concern that you might come to have drinks or juices that oozed out on Shabbos. What's this referring to? So there's an iser of schita, really iser dash. Dash is one of the 39 melachas. Dash is extracting something that's sealed up. So let's say, for example, removing a nut from a shell might be an issue of dash as well. Squeezing juice from an orange is dash. So then the mission Shabbos tells us, let's say I left an orange out or a grape out on Shabbos. And then it was a very juicy grape. It started oozing out on its own. Are you allowed to drink that? Midraisa, of course, I didn't do anything wrong with it. I could drink the juice that oozed out. But the Gemara made a takana that you cannot have it because if I have the juice that flowed out on its own, I might end up squeezing the actual grape and violate the iser of dash, schita. So that's a gzera of mishum mashkim shezavu. So they said, because of Mashkin Shezavu, they said, you know what? You also can't have a beitza, which kind of oozed out, kind of came out of the chicken, lest you have the juice that oozed out from the grape. So the Gemara says, wait a second, same question as before. Mashkin Amale Abai asks, like he asked before, Mashkin Shezavu, time am I, why can't you have the juice that has oozed out? Gzeira Shema Yischa, because that itself is a gzeira, lest you come to squeeze the actual grape. But he goof a gzeira, that itself is a gzeira. V'anon nekem v'nigzer gzeira gzeira. We're going to add another gzeira. So the issa deraisa is you can't squeeze grapes. The takana derabanan was you can't have grape juice that flowed out on its own. And now the chacham are coming to add another level of gzeira that you can't have a beitza that was no longer on Yom Tif. Same question as before. Yeah,
let me ask a question. All these different svaras, mm-hmm. Do the other rabbanim who give the other svaras, they don't accept the other ones?
The Gemara is going to address actually each one why they don't hold to the other. So the Gemara answers no. Kula chada gzera, it's all the same gzera. Meaning, we know there's an issa derai, so you can't do schita. And they made one big gzera. Because of that, you can't have a beitza shenolad am yomtif, and you also cannot have mashkim shezavu. That's all part of the same takana. It wasn't that there were two stages. That first there goes there mashkim shezavu, and then on top of that, there goes there on beitza shenolad am yomtif. Rather, it was all one shot. There it goes there. You can't have an egg that was laid, and you also cannot have any juice that has oozed out on Shabbos or a yomtif. So now we have four different answers. We have Rav Nachman about a machlokas in Nolad. We have Rabbah, a machlokas about Hachana. We have Rav Yosef, a machlokas about Shema Yalav Yitlosh. And then we have, Rav Yitzchak, machlokas about Mashkim Shezavu. Now the Gemara asks your question, do they all reject each other? Why are there four different reasonings? The Gemara explains, Kula Krav Nachman Lo Amar. Everybody rejects Rav Nachman. He was the first answer that's about Nolad. Lo Amri, why? Kikushin, because he asked the question. If Rav Nachman was really, his reasoning was the Mishnah, so the Mishnah should have had a machlokas not only about the beitza, but they should have also been arguing about the status of the actual chicken, whether the chicken was muks or not. The fact that the Mishnah didn't have a machlokas about the actual chicken, only about the beitza, tells us that Rav Nachman is not correct. Kiraba, why don't they hold like Rabba? Nami lo Amri, Hachana leslu. They don't hold of this. Rabba was Mechadish's din of Hachana, based in Mechinu, that pasuk. They don't hold to such a drasha. They never heard the drasha. They don't feel that drasha is a good drasha. Therefore, there's no concept of hachana according to the other opinions. Ella, however, Rav Yosef, my time alone, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Why didn't the last two opinions hold of each other? Why didn't Rav Yosef hold like Rav Yitzchak, who held it was all about Mashkum Shazafu? So Amar Lecha, so Rav Yosef explains, Beitza Ochla Uperis Ochla. Because in my case, they're both foods. The egg is a food, and the Peris Shenoshin is food. Lafuke Mashkum De Lav Ochla, but it's to exclude liquid. You can't compare that to a case of Mashkum Shazavu. Mashkum Shazavu is liquid. A Beitza and Peris are food. So therefore, I didn't like your opinion. It can't be about Mashkum Shazavu. It has to be about Yalla V'Yidlosh. Now Rabbi Yitzchak, who held is about Shema Yalla, so he held it was about Mashkum Shazavu. My time alo Amar Krav Yosef. Why didn't he hold it was a concern of Peris Shenoshim? So Amar Lecha, Rabbi Yitzchak explained, Beitza Belua, Umashim Belua, they're both completely absorbed, enveloped in whatever they're in. Meaning the juice of the orange, the juice of the grape is completely enveloped in the actual fruit. The egg is enveloped in the chicken. Lafuke Peris de Megalu V'Kaima, but fruit is open, they're revealed, they're out there, they're hanging. So they're very different because the way they are attached. One's Balua and the other is not. So that's why I didn't think Peros is similar to the case of Beitza. Rather, Beitza is more similar to the case of Mashmush Shazavu. Now the Gemara says, Va'af, so too, Rabbi Yochanan Savar Gzeira Mishim Mashim Shazavu. Rabbi Yochanan also holds that the underlying reason here is because Mashkim Shazavu. Now the Gemara is about to ask a question and give an answer, and through this discussion of Yochanan, we're going to see that his opinion is that a Beitza Shenol Dumyantif is a problem of Mashkim Shazavu. What's the question? Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yochanan raised, he threw Rabbi Yehuda ad Rabbi Yehuda. He had a question of one Rabbi Yehuda against another Rabbi Yehuda. There's a stira in two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda. What's the stira? And Umashani, then he answered the question. So the stira is as follows. Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, this is a Mishnah in Shabbos. Ein sochtin es aperos lahotzi mehen mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit in order to extract liquid. Vim yatsa me'atman, but if on their own it came out, it oozed out on its own, asurin, it's also asur according to the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda omer, im la'ochlin hayotzi mehen mutter. In the mashkin hayotzi mehem aser, he says it depends. Depends on why you actually bought the fruit. You bought oranges. Some people buy oranges to squeeze out the juice. Some people buy oranges to eat. So if you bought the oranges in order to eat them, so any food that, any juice rather, that oozed out, that's actually mutter. But if you bought them to juice the oranges, then any liquid that came out on its own, that would be aser. That's Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
Alma. And if you bought for both, like if you bought stam?
I think the Gemara in Shabbos talks about stam case. What do you do by a stam case? And that's what the Gemara says. It depends. It goes on anavim v'zesim, olives and grapes,
which are
normally most rov olam use them for juice. So right. That stam is aser. It's actually always aser, I think. When it comes to tutim v'rimon, I think the Gemara says, then it depends maybe where you are. I don't remember exactly, but it does address the stam case. Okay. So what do we see from this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? Alma, therefore, kol ochlin, anything that's food, I mean, he bought the oranges to eat, the Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is ochla, the afrasu. Anything that comes from the actual food, even though it might be liquid, it's considered a food itself. So that's first assumption we have from this Mishnah. So again, I buy oranges. Juice oozes out. I'm allowed to have that juice, because that juice that oozes out is really only food, even though it's actual liquid for our purposes. Since it comes from food, it comes from an orange, it itself is considered food. Okay, now what's the question? So Rabbi Yochanan says, wait a second, look at another Rabbi Yehuda we have. This Rabbi Yehuda appears in the Maseches Erevin. The old Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, Masna Adam al Kalkala. A person is able to make a tanai on a basket shel peros. He has a basket of fruit. Now this basket of fruit, he never took meiser and chumas and meiser on it. He has tevel. He collected the fruit from the house, from the field rather. He brings them into his house. The moment you bring the fruit into your house, it has now an iser tevel. Now I have an iser tevel, and I'm not allowed to take chuma and meiser on Shabbos or Yom Tif because it's tikkun manna. I can't fix something on Yom Tif or on Shabbos. So the next 2 days, that means I can't eat the fruit. So he said, no, there's a way around it. You can make the following tonight. He says, biyom tarishon. You make the tanai on the first day of Yom Tov, and you eat it on the second day. And the second day, you also actually have to make the a tanai. So what do you do as follows? Rashi explains, but I'll say this outside. I have a basket of fruit. day one of Yom Tov. I say, listen, if today is Chol, I'm being mafresh Truma and Meiser, my grapes over here is for Truma, 1/50th, and I have 1/10th for Meiser Rishon, and now this is no longer Tevel, the remaining I could eat, it's Mutter to be eaten. But if today is Yom Tov, so what I just did was meaningless, and then he leaves it aside. Day two comes, he says the same thing. If today is Yom Tov, that means yesterday was Chol, so I already was Mafresh Truma and Meiser. If today was Yom Tov, I did nothing yesterday. So today I'm taking Truma and Meiser, he takes it. And either way, exactly, you cover both bases, and therefore you could eat it on day two. So the Gemara is going to address all these different things, whether it's Shtei Kedushas or one Kedusha. But that's what the first parak of Beitz is pretty much all about. How do we understand these 2 days of Yom Tov? So the Gemara says, V'chein sotu beitza shenolda b'rishon tocha b'sheni. So if a beitza was laid on day one, you're allowed to eat it on day two. Why? The same svara. If day one was really Yom Tov, that means day two is Chol. So I could have it today on day two. If day one was Chol and day two is Yom Tov, so yesterday when it was laid on a weekday, so either way you can eat it on day two. Same idea, because this is assuming, as you said, the suffix,
you're talking about Rosh Hashanah.
According to Art Scroll, Rosh Hashanah, I guess based on the way the Gemara is going to answer it, maybe.
This way is good for Eretz Yisrael also, I guess.
Let's see. I wonder why they feel the need to make this talk about Rosh Hashanah in particular. It could be based on the answer, but yeah, I don't know why it has to be.
Rashi says the first white line. That is Rosh Hashanah.
First white line. Uh-huh, okay. Okay, I guess in this regard, Rosh Hashanah might be worse and might be better than Yom Tov. Meaning on one hand, Rosh Hashanah, they really didn't know. If you lived far away, you didn't know. Well, so that's part of the issue. Nowadays, since we know what the calendars...
That became Yom Ruch, that wasn't the Yom Ruch then.
So but let's say then. I didn't know if the Kiddush HaChodesh was made, the new month. So right now, today might be Rosh Hashanah, and tomorrow might be Rosh Hashanah. I really have no idea what the day is, so it's a real suffix. The Edom, the Shluchim, never got out to tell me which was the Rosh Hashanah, so I had to keep both days as a suffix. Nowadays, however, even Eretz Yisrael, who keeps it, then now it's considered Yom HaRichta, because now we know the right day, but still, even in Eretz Yisrael, they keep these 2 days, so that's why it's called Yom HaRichta. So they didn't know what was the right day, which was the real Rosh Hashanah in those days. So therefore, they had to keep both days just to be safe. So the same true holds of Tu Yom Tov, Shnei Yom Tov, Shnei Galios. Even Sukkot, the same thing applies. So I'm not sure why Rashi says it's Stafka talking about Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, I don't know something.
There were a couple things for the context of the Mishnah over there. Says that it was talking about Rosh Hashanah, but we'll see in one of the Teirutzim, one of the Gemara, response that it was because it was Rosh Hashanah.
Uh-huh, that's why. Okay. So either way, what comes out here, there seems to be a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why, what's the stira? So, so that the... Before he said that mashmu shezavu, any liquid that comes out of the food, is permitted to be eaten, because ochla de'afrasu, food that comes from another food, is mutter. But then he says, the beitza, which is food that comes from chicken food, is aser. So is ochla de'afras mutter, or is ochla de'afras aser? Again, the beitza case, he says, is aser, but the mashmu shezavu case, he says, is mutter. That's the stira.
So we're saying basically that the beitza... that know that since it's food out of food and it's not mashka out of food, then he would say it's okay. Or we're just saying because it's not ragil that should happen. What's the svara of that?
As far as which point?
On his first, on...
The reason why mashmu shezavu is mutter?
No, that the beta would be mutter and...
No, he's saying the beta is usher in day one.
No, but on the first...
Where the mashmu shezavu, if I buy an orange and it ends up oozing out, okay. I could drink that. Why? Because that's viewed as food. It's just food from food. It's not going to lead me to squeeze something. Squeezing is only relevant if I bought it to squeeze out the juice.
Right.
So then if I am allowed to drink the juice, I might end up squeezing the juice also.
But shouldn't be the same thing if you buy a tarnagol to just to lay eggs. Shouldn't be the same case.
No, because you're saying if you buy the tarnagol legadel beitzim,
right.
That would be a similar case to. I guess we must be assuming we're talking about a tarnagol as leachla. Maybe, maybe that's a very good point. I hear. So before we get to the answer, the very question alone tells us that Rabbi Yochanan compares the beitzah case to mashkim shazavu case. What do you mean? Then one's talking about liquids and one's talking about an egg. What does one have to do with the next? So we see from here, says the Gemara, that Rabbi Yochanan held that the underlying reason of a beitza, shenol debiyontif, is aser because mashkim shazavu. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. When after Rabbi Yochanan holds of gzeira mishum mashkim shazavu, it's because of this very question that he raises. Comparing mashkim shazavu to beitza shenol debiyontif tells me that's the same underlying reason. Now the Gemara says, well, how do we deal with the sira though? Rabbi Yehuda says one case ochla da'afris is mutter, one case ochla da'afris is aser. So says the Gemara, Umishani Rabbi Yochanan, Mukhlafas Hashita, we have to switch them around. One of the opinions are different here. So he says, we're going to switch around the Mishnah that says, Ein Sochtin, you're not allowed to squeeze. That we're saying, really, the first opinion is Rabbi Yehuda, who you can never take advantage of any of the juice that oozed out. And it's the Chachamim, who Mechalik, depends on why you actually bought the orange. Was it to eat or was it to drink? And the Gemara says further, the fact that, as I said before, he asks such a question, these two different Rabbi Yehudas on to each other, that tells me there's the same underlying reason that it's all Beit HaShinol Biyantif is a problem because of Mashkim Shezavu. Okay. Says the Gemara at the top of the page, Gimel Amar Beis. Ravina Amar, Ravina is also going to deal with this question. Of the different opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, the seer and Rabbi Yehuda. Li'olam lo tipach. No, don't switch around the opinions. Keep the Mishnah as is. Don't play around with the girsos. So how do we get around the seer of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda, l'divrayem, d'rabbanon karmelu. He was just saying according to the Chachamim's opinion. According to himself, l'didi, says Rabbi Yehuda, afil barisha nami shari, d'ochel dafrisu. According to me, even on day one you can have a beta. Because ochel dafris, any food that's extracted from another food is permitted. So just like if I buy an orange to eat, any of the liquid that comes out is permitted because it's ochel da'afris. It's food that removed from other food. That's permitted. So too, if an egg was laid on Yom Tov Rishon, you could eat it because ochel da'afris. But the only question was, according to you, Rabbanan, who say you cannot have liquids that has been oozed out from a fruit. Odili mias, at least admit to me that b'sheni sharia. At least on day two it should be permitted. Because at least one of the days is chol. Either day one is chol of Yom Tov. Or day two is Chol of Yom Tov. Either way, you should be fine. Again, he says, Odi li, admit to me, Mias, the B'sheni Sharia, the Shtei Kedusha saying that there's two different Kedushas.
This is why it's Rosh Hashanah.
No, why? Even Yom Tov, I mean his response.
Yeah, the response.
Okay. So Amalei Rabbanan say, no, lo. Kedusha Achasi. This is all one long Kedusha. It's a 48-hour Yom Tov, all one Kedusha. We don't view it as one day Chol and one day Yom Tov, and we're not sure which is which. This is one long 48-hour Kedusha, and that's why I do not agree to you about the Beit HaShinol B'Yantif, even on day two, it's going to be Aser. Right, because Kedush Achas would only be relevant to Rosh Hashanah. That's what Rashi was telling us before. Rashi foreshadowed that for us.
It's interesting that the Gemara said that you see from the seer that Rabbi Yochanan holds that it's Mashkin Shazavu also. Doesn't say Ravina holds that it's Mashkin Shazavu. Ravina is obviously also bothered with the steer. Ravina is forced to answer the steer too, just answers it differently than Rabbi Yochanan answers the steer.
It's interesting, but I would think Ravina came after Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan was the one mechadish the question. So Ravina was just, okay, once you I grant you that question, so I'm going to give you another response.
If you look at the top Rashi, it's Mashmal, so that he's only answering in Rabbi Yochanan. He goes, that which Rabbi Yochanan...
Right, he's responding to Rabbi Yochanan's question.
Passion.
Exactly. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ravina Berei de Rav Ula, Amar Hacha, he gives a different answer, that Hacha here, B'tarnagolas ha'omedes l'gada beitzim, Rehuda l'tame des le'mukta. That's what you answered. This is your
question.
Very good. No, because we're talking about a different case here. It's not talking about Ochel da'afris. If it was a chicken that was raised to be eaten, so then it would be ochel dafras. That's why you should be able to eat the beitzah even on day one. But this is talking about a chicken that was there raised to legada beitzim. And legada beitzim is a problem of muksa. Because Rabbi Yehuda... Rabbi Yehuda holds a muksa, just like we said before. Rabbi Shimon rejects muksa. Rabbi Yehuda holds a muksa. So Rabbi Yehuda is l'shita, so that he holds a muksa. So just like the Tarnagolas itself is muksa because it's only there legada beitzim. It's not mutter. That's something that's muksa. You don't have in mind to eat that. You don't want to eat the chicken. It's there to raise lay eggs. So that's why he holds any beta that comes from the chicken is going to be a problem of muksa as well. Okay, now we have already, remember, we have four different opinions about why beta would be mutter or not be mutter. We have Rav Nachman, we have Rabba, we have Rav Yosef, and we have Rav Yitzchak. So Gemara asks the following question. Meisive. This next braisi is very, very important for a lot of halachas for your day topics. So Gemara says, Meisive. Echad beta shenolda b'Shabbos. If an egg was laid on Shabbos, rather. Ve'echad beta shenolda b'yomtif. Ein metalton osa. You're not allowed to move this beta. It's muksa. Lo l'chasos bas a kli. You can't use it to cover up a kli. You want to use it somehow as a cover. Lo lismoch ba kari hamita. And you cannot move it to, let's say your bed is uneven, to kind of level out the bed. You can't use it for that either. Aval kofa aleh es a kli b'shvi'a shelo tishaber. But you can pick up a kli and to cover it so no one cracks the egg. Okay, before we go by there, just in two interesting Hilchos Muksa points that are here. One is, look at this top tosfos here. Aval kofa aleh aleh b'kli. You're allowed to cover up the egg. Peresh Rashi, the mahach brisa parachasim le b'yitzchak, damer ein kli nital el davar nital. So Rashi asks, why is that permitted? This halacha, you can only use a keli for something that else that's mutter. But I can't use a keli for the purpose of something that's muksa. I can't use it for the beta. So why is that permitted? Why can I use this kli to protect something that's muksa? Vutir, it's, and Rashi answers, b'tzarch l'mekomo. It's only, I needed the kli, it was, I needed, something's in my way. So let's say I had a cup on my chair. It's in my way. So you'll have to pick up the cup. It's in my way. Once I pick it up, so then I could use that to cover up the kli. So
because then it was a kli, not mukta. So why should you need the tzarch l'mekomo, that's not mukta?
Yeah, the halacha is, you can't move any object just for no reason, though. You have to have a reason. You can't just play with a fork while you're eating the suda, just playing around with a fork just for no reason.
Yeah.
No. Even kelim shenlachtam leheter, you can only use it when you need to use it. But just to move kelim.
So what's the difference between tzarach mekom on something that mokes and something that's mokes? Because here you're saying.
Because something that's kelim shem lachtel heter.
It's for something that's mukhan.
Say mukhan, no.
It's mukhan for its particular use. It's not mukhan for another use.
So that could
why
be.
Why can't use that? Why it's mukta?
So like a kelim shem lachtel heter, I can use it for anything in the world because it's inherently mutter. I just can't use it for no purpose.
So basically, covering the egg that is muksa would be like
that
using it for no purpose.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute. That means you couldn't use a fork as a door stopper. Is that
mukhan for that? Is that true? And I think kelim you could use for anything you want to use it.
Kelim shemachtam
what about the kelim that you can cover with this? Use for,
so, question, why do they give a case of lachtel, why tzarach l'mekomo? You want to, but you can't pick it up to use it for the beta. That's an usher use. Only when the use
is,
because that's the Rabbi Yitzchak held in the Gemara and Shabbos, that you cannot use a kli for something that's aser. You can't, ein kli nitel, what was the line again? Ein kli nitel el davar nitel. You can only use it for something else that is permitted to be used. So like a door you can move, so I could put a fork to hold a door back, because the door is also mutter. But to pick it up, to ultimately use for the beta, that's a problem. So it was a case where I needed the makom. So I was able to pick that. I had a reason to pick it up.
Yeah, I put it anywhere I
want. Hey, that's the point. Exactly. That's what Rashi Tosa says. Mikan Tosa says, poskim, from here we learn, dehad de kaimlan de davar shemlachto le'iser, aser, enu el dafka, shenu l'tzarch gufo l'tzarch makomo. When we say mlachto le'iser is aser, it's only when you don't need it for the purpose, you don't need it for the place. Aval tzarch gufo, o l'tzarch makomo shari. But if you need this, let's say, a hammer, I need it because the hammer's in the way, or I need a hammer to crack open the nut, so then that's permitted when there's a reason. V'im hischil l'talto, this is the key line, l'talto b'shvil shetzarach l'gufo, ol mekomo, let's say I pick up the object because I need it for the place, or I need it to use the hammer, then mutir l'holichel afilu b'chedro, I can move it wherever I want. Once you pick up the hammer for a good reason that's permitted, I can take it wherever I want. in Yirsa, the ha-chazina, the ha-cha, the whole, the tzarach l'mekomal, o l'guf ha-kli kofel al-beitza. Because here, once I needed the cup because it was in my seat, I could do whatever I want with it. Normally speaking, I can't just take a cup and cover the egg, but once I pick it up for another good purpose, then I can place it wherever I want, even on top of a beitza.
So,
what do you mean?
Cover the kli, same story.
So he's saying the Gemara in Pesachim, which tells us if you see chametz, you can't burn any yomtiv if you have to cover it up. So you're raising the question: is that a special? You're saying it's a special heter because it's chametz.
Right.
Maybe it has to be only kli that you need in the first place. You have to, let's say, use the cup to drink, or it was in your place, and then. So I'm not sure. But the point from this Tosas, by the way, there's a big machlokas in the poskim. We normally assume, let's say, you picked up a toy, and it starts making noise. It's muksa. So we say, oh, once you pick it up, put it wherever you want. According to this Tosas, they point out, no, that's only when you're permitted in the first place to pick it up. It wasn't when you made a mistake in the first place. Only when there's a reason to pick up the cup, and then I can put it wherever I want. But to pick up something that was muksa, and I made a mistake, I didn't know it was muksa, that's not allowed, according to some poskim. They point to this Tosas as a raya. Others say, no, whenever you pick something up, even accidentally you made a mistake, you can put it wherever you want. So this Tosas is very important for that halacha. Okay, back to the Gemara now.
So basically, if you're wearing a hat, you would be able to just take it up and put it on the head.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so now the Gemara, we're in the middle of a question. The Gemara, we haven't gotten to the question yet, but the Gemara is telling us if a beit was nolad on Shabbos or Yom Tif, you can't move it to cover. So another thing they point out here is also, it's very strange, it says, Ematalton also, you can't move it to cover something else, you can't move it to place it as a, to level out the bed. So the Merdaic though, you can, let's say you could leave the egg there and put the bed on top of it, let's say. You could use the egg without moving the egg. The Gemara says only Metalton is a problem. So that's oftentimes people say, oh, don't touch the car, it's muksa. No, it's not. It's muksa to move the car. But to touch the car, it's permitted. So they point out that's what the Gemara, the Bryce, is trying to teach us here. Now that is different than touching a tree, for example. Touching a tree is a problem. Other halachas of you can't lean on a tree, you might come to break the branches. Leaning on a tree is problematic, but leaning on a car is not problematic. Leaning on muksa, touching muksa is not a problem. It's moving muksa, which is a problem. So the Bryce continues it still before we get to the question. So you have an egg that's laid. You can't move it to use it for anything, but you can cover it up to protect it. Usveka, the Gemara says, Asur, let's say it's a Suffolk. You weren't sure, actually, if it was laid on Yom Tif or it was laid the day before. You didn't see it. You didn't see the chicken laid today, but you didn't see it yesterday. You just weren't sure. What's the halacha? It's Asur. Vimnis Arva Be'elof, let's say this egg gets mixed up with a pile of 1,000 other eggs. Kul and Asur, so all of them are Asur. I have 1,000 heter eggs. And then someone, my kid, takes the egg that was Asur and throws it into the pile of eggs now. I don't know which is which. They all look the same. So that whole pile now is Asr. So what's the question here? So Gemara says, why is Bishlam al Rabbah? It all makes sense according to Rabbah. The Amar Mishum Hachana. The reason why you can't have a Beit Hashanol de Biyomtif, because Hachana didn't have the proper Hachana. Have a Sveika de Raisa. The Chol Sveika de Raisa l'chumra. So I understand why the Braisa says, if the egg was a Suffolk about this egg, why is Sveika is Asr? Because according to Rabbah, the whole reason the Beit is Asr is because of a pasuk in the Torah. It's a deraisa. And Safek deraisa l'chumra. That's why it's Asr. Ella, the Rav Yosef, the Rav Yitzchak, the Amri Mishum Gzeira, Sveka derabanhi, the Chol Sveka derabanhi l'kula. Rav Yosef said the problem was because of Shema Yalav Yitlosh. It's a Gzeira, you might come to rip a fruit off the tree. And Rav Yitzchak held there's a problem of Mashmish Zavu. But those are only both Gzeira derabanans.
Isn't that
Sveka? Why is Sveka Sveka? It's a Safek derabanhi, not Sveka Sveka though.
If it was no doubt on Yom Tov or not, and then when it got mixed up,
That's another point. We're right now talking about the first suffix. You're asking on the Nisarva Bacheros, that Tosas does deal with Svek Sveka. But in terms of the first case, it's simply a regular one suffix. I don't know if this egg was today or yesterday.
No, the regular one is one, but once it's Nisarva, then you're talking about Svek Sveka.
Exactly, that's what the Gemara the Tosas deals with that case. So right now, talking about the one level of suffix. You weren't sure if it was today or yesterday, so according to Rav Yosef and according to Rav Yitzchak, it's a gzeira in the first place. It's only derabanan, so it should be savak derabanan lakula. So why does this brayso say it's aser? So the Gemara answers seifa asan lesavak trefa. Very interesting Gemara here. The brayso switches gears. In the beginning, the brayso is talking about halachas of muksa, Then suddenly in the middle it says, you know what? If it happens to be a suffix trefa, it's usr. Because a suffix trefa, if the chicken was a trefa, it had a puncture in the lung, so it's now a trefa. And anything that comes from it, any beta, is also has the status of being a trefa. You can't eat such an egg. So it's a suffix, whether it came from a trefa chicken or not, that's going to be suffix isr deraisa, a suffix deraisa l'chumra. So the weakness is that how is the Gemara in the middle just shifting gears? Firstly, it's talking about muksa, and suddenly it starts talking about a different isr of trefa. But that's how Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef wiggle out of this problem. The Gemara says, well, if we're now talking about a suffix trefa case, yachi, if that's so, ema seifa, look at the seifa. Nisarva be'elav kulon asuros. So if this egg gets mixed up with some other mixture, all the entire mixture is asur. Why is the entire mixture asur? So normally you have the halacha of bitul barov. When you have something, you have two kosher meats and one non-kosher meat, and they get mixed up together, the halacha is bitul barov. You could have, well, machlok is what exactly you could have. The Rush says you could have all three in one shot. Rashba says you could have all three, but zeachazeh, you have to take breaks. Others say you can only have two of the three. So, but clearly there's a halacha bitul barov based on the pasuk. Achei rabim l'hatos. We follow the rabim, we follow the rov. So we should apply bitul barov. Why are we saying the entire mixture is aser? So there are always a few exceptions when bitul barov does not apply. So the Gemara says, bishlama safek yomtiv ayner said iyamar sari iyamar bishlama safek yomtiv safek chol. If the whole issue we're talking about is whether this egg was laid on a yomtiv or on a chol, so then I understand why if it gets in the mixture we don't apply bitul barov, because there's a concept of davar sheyesh l'matirim, something that has a future heter. V'chol davar sheyesh l'matirin afil be'elf labato, something that will ultimately be mutter. So this beta that was laid on yomtiv, if the problem is a muksa issue, so today it's aser, but tomorrow it's going to be mutter when it's chol. So davar sheish l'matirim, just wait it out, it'll be mutter. Other examples might be chametz. Chametz is also davar sheish l'matirim. It's aser on Pesach, but it's mutter after Pesach. Right, that's a gzera. In terms of, that's a siag, exactly. Right. But mikra din, that would be a fall into the category of davar sheish l'matirim. Other cases would be chuman maiser, tevel. It's a tevel. It's aser b'tevel now, but it has a heter, that when I'm mafish chuma, mafish maiser, it's now mutter. So we have a concept of davar sheyesh l'matirin, something that has a future heter, is permitted. So I understand then why, if it's a case of a suffix of muksa, if it gets mixed with something else, it's not going to be bittul. I just say, wait it out. Don't rely on the bittul. Just wait until it's over. Now that's as far Rashi says. Look at the Rashi. This is a very important Rashi here. Rashi says, sheyesh lo matirin. You can eat it afterwards. And Rashi continues, even 1,000 eggs, it's mixed with 1,000 eggs, it's not bottle. Even though normally one that gets mixed with two other items is bottle, says the pasuk. Rather wait till it's complete mutter than to eat it now and rely on the bittul. So that's what Rashi says, just wait it out. There's a Ran in the Darn which has a different svar. The Ran in the Darn says that, what's the svar he says again? And you remember this, what the Ran says? What was it now?
No pressure.
I'm forgetting now. I think he says that somehow qualitatively this egg is different. It's not about just waiting out the clock. Something about this actual chefsa is different and doesn't allow bittul to take place. He says something along those lines. I'm forgetting. Sorry about that. Putting you on the spot there, Adam. But he quotes the rhyme back here. But I'm not sure if I have time to read through this quickly. He has a whole svar about min b'mina. Okay, it's a different svar, but no, there is a ran in the Dharma, a very long ran in the Dharma that does take issue with this Rashi. Okay. Okay, let's keep going now. So, now, it makes sense. If this whole brisa is talking about muksa only, so we understand why if this muksa gets mixed with 1,000 other ones, you can't eat it because of davar sheyesh l'matir, and it's mutter when yantav is over. El of the Gemara says, however, if, let's say, Iyamr Safek Trefa. Right, Davar Shein Lamatim. It's no heter for once it's a trefa, it's always a trefa.
Then it should be Bata.
It should be Bata, right.
You're jogging my memory. So he says that if something is normally, if it's heter and eser, that it's considered min b'she'in amino.
Correct.
That's right, it's batal. But once it's ultimately going to be mutter,
it's considered min b'mino, and min b'mino is la batal.
Min b'mino is la batal.
Exactly. He defines min b'mino not as opposed to the actual object, but about right. Isser and heter. There you go. Okay. See, I knew I was calling the right person. So, and Gemara again says, now, again, we understand if it's muksa is the iser, so that's davar she'in l'matirin, therefore no batal. Aval I, ela I am a safek trefa, davar she'in l'matirin hu, viti batal baruba. If it's a safek a trefa, if that's the question we're talking about, so safek trefa never has a heter, it will never become mutter, so it should be batal. So Gemara said, well, maybe, v'chi tema beitza chashuva, if you think beitza chashuva. So one of the exceptions for bittel doesn't apply in all cases, we say. Bittel barov applies in most cases, but it's a davar sheish lamatirim, or it's a davar chashuv, something that's a very significant item. Sometimes we have a birya, it's a bird is a birya. Let's say one bird is an entire entity on its own. We don't allow an entity to get bittel. So to davar chashuv, egg is considered a davar chashuv. Also, bittel shouldn't apply. So maybe you're going to say that's why. V'chi tema beitza chashuva. Maybe the reason why, let's say it's all about safek trefa. And really, normally, trefa should be bittel barov. But since it's a beitza trefa and a beitza is a davar chashuv is not batel, maybe that's the reason why we don't say bittel by the case of the egg, because beitza is a davar chashuv. Which is not true. Again, v'chi tema beitza chashuva v'lo bala. So that makes sense. Only hanich l'man damar kol shadarchal. Limanos, shanina. So this will be a little confusing the next half of the Gemara. Now, it's only true that we say beta is chashuva, that beta called chashuv won't be batal, if you hold that kol davar, that anything that people normally count, when you sell something, sometimes you sell something by the pound, sometimes you sell by the amount of the quantity. So you sell eggs by the dozen. You sell wheat by the pound, let's say. So if something that gets sold by each one individually, so that's going to be davar chashuv. So we're going to see in a second, there's a whole list of certain things. The machlokas is as follows. Do we say kol, anything that people sell as separate items, then that's davar chashuv? Or do we say only S, only specific things that the Mishnah lists for us? But anything else, even though it might be sold by the item, wouldn't necessarily be considered davar chashuv. Is it kol, is it everything sold by the item, or is it only specific things? So Hanicha, this makes sense. L'man damar kol shadar chalibanos shaninu. It makes sense, as we'll see later on, the opinion that says anything that you actually sell as a number, you sell them by the dozen. So then, that's a davar chashuv. That would make sense why beta would not be batal, even though it's a beta of trefa. L'man damar es shadarchu. If it's only specific things that we'll see in a moment, only specific things listed that people count shaninu, only those things are not batal.
Meaning that there are certain things which people sell by the item, but would still be considered not chashuv.
Correct.
Okay.
So when we say eshadarchu, is only the things that the Mishnah is about to list for us, 6-7 items, only those 7 items.
Are chashuv because they're counted.
Exactly. But something like an egg, although it's counted, an egg is not considered davar chashuv.
Okay.
So this all makes sense according to, again, man damar kol. Yeah.
Is it possible, like, what is this sugya is coming to tell us what originally?
We're trying to find out right now.
No, I'm saying on the, like,
when we get here.
When it says davar shelimanos, the original.
Yeah, the Gemara is going to come to us. Gemara is going to say, he's going to explain the background. First, it's just laying out there for us kol versus S, and then where do you find this discussion of kol versus S?
Exactly,
the Gemara is going to tell us.
Okay.
The Gemara is going to tell us exactly. So again, hanich l'man damar kol shadar chalibana shaninu. It makes sense if you say everything that gets counted is going to be davar chashuv. L'man damar es shadarchu, only specific things, limana shaninu, ma'ik l'meimar. So why would the beta that's a trefa, why would that not be batal? A beta is not on the list. A beta is not davar chashuv. It's not. Now here's the Mishnah you were asking for. Where do we find this discussion of S versus kol? The Mishnah found in Maseches Arla tells us as follows. Misha hayu lo chavilu tlasin shakalei akerem. Somebody has some type of rope. I don't know exactly what tlasin is. There's some type of rope of a material of kilei akerem. He has some type of vegetable that was crossbreeded with some type of other vegetable or wheat or grapes.
Min kitniot shemamtikim bo tavshil. It's a bundle of beans.
Beans. Kitniot. Okay, it's kitniot there. Rashi says that was crossbred with grapes of some sort.
Right, because it's sweetens the they're sweet.
Okay. So sweet beans. So then what's the halacha? Yidluku, you have to burn it. That's a halach of arlo, kilakem, you have to burn. Pasuk says, Rashi tells us, Shenemar pentukdash, says the pasuk, tukat esh dasi bahana, you have to burn kilayim. Okay. Now, nisarvu b'achers, let's say this chavil tlasin, that's kilayim, gets mixed with other chavilim. Now, the other chavilim are not kilayim, but these chavilim are kilayim. V'achers b'achers, and this gets mixed up with another set of acheros. Kulon yidluku divrei Reb Meir. All of them get burnt. We don't apply bittel at all, according to Reb Meir. We don't say bittel barof. Chacham omrim yalo ba'achetz umasayim. You are able to be mevatel in 201, meaning if you have one chavir tlasim of klayim mixed with another 201 chavirim, so then you would apply bittel. We have different levels of bittel. So the typical case, midaraisa, bittel barof applies. And other halachas, such as bas v'chalav, and other yisurim, it's bittel b'shishim. This halacha, bittel of masayim ve'echad. Chuma has, I think, Chuma's masayim alone, I think you need 200 for Chuma, not 201.
100 for Chuma.
Just 100 for Chuma?
Yeah, it's 100.
Okay, so 100. So the different levels of different yisurim. So for kilayim, you need 201. So, continues the Mishnah. Shehaya Reb Meir says, Es Shadarchul Limnos Mekadesh. So something that is normally counted is going to be Mekadesh will not bitta. Bitta won't apply. That's why Reb Meir argue. Reb Meir says all of them get mixed together. What, the Reb Meir rejects the concept of bittel of 201? No, Reb Meir holds of the concept of 201. If I have normally Kalayim that gets mixed with 201 others that are not Kalayim, I would apply bittel. But this case in particular, he argues because what we're talking about of Chavile Tlasim is an example of something that gets counted. And when something gets counted, Bittel does not apply. And Chacham Omer Meinu Makadesh El Shishim Dvarim Bavad. And he yelled, no, Chacham say, I agree there's such a concept of Bittel, of Devar Chashiv, but there are only six things that are Devar Chashiv. Rabbi Meir holds there's more than six things. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Shiva, there are seven things. So we have three-way machlokas here. What gets counted? Is it S, which we'll get to in a second when that means? Is it six things according to the Chamim? Or is it seven things according to Rabbi Kiva that are considered Davar Chashiv and do not get battle? Ve'lehin, and the following are the six. Eguzi Prach, I'm not sure what all these things are, but Eguzi Prach, Rimon Ebadan, Chavios Stumos, Chalfe Tardin, Kalche Karav, Delas Yonis. So different types of vegetables, some type of nut, some type of pumpkin. All those six things are the items that are considered davar chashiv and are not batal. Rabbi Kiva Mosif Af Kikar Shabbais. He adds a seventh item, bread from a Babais. And then the Mishnah continues and says, Haroi l'arla arla, Haroi l'kalei kerem kilei kerem. So, certain halachas, this list of six, seven things here are some things here are kalei kerem, some things are arla. So it's not all talking about kalei. Up until now we're talking about kalayim. And then he says, but not all six, seven things apply to Kalayim. What, and certain things apply to Arla. They have the same halacha, similar halachas. They have to get rid of them, you have to burn them. So things that grow on the trees is considered Arla. Things that grow from the ground are related to Kalayim. That's all he's pointing out. So let's say, for example, the egoze prach, which are nuts, that's something that grows on the tree, that would be considered Arla. A delas yvanis, a Greek pumpkin that grows from the ground, that would be related to Kalayim. So they're all considered davar chashiv, but certain halachas apply to kalei kerem, certain ones apply to arla. So that's the Mishnah. Now, on that Mishnah, itamar Allah, it was said on this Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Amar es shedar chalim no shaninu. When Rabbi Meir Bav said there are only certain items that can apply the din of davar chashiv, he says es shedar chalim, only specific items. But Rabbi Shlakish Amar kol shedar chalim no shaninu. What Reb Meir held was anything that gets counted. So this is the machlokes we said before. Is it S, only specific things, or any item? And now the Gemara goes back. Hanicha, our Gemara, our Brisa again, now full circle. Hanicha, our Brisa above that says that if a trefa gets mixed with something else, it's Aser, Hanicha, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, because he held anything that gets counted. And since we count eggs, we sell eggs by the dozen, so it's considered davar chashiv according to Rabbi Shimon Lakish, and therefore it's not batal. And Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ikle Meimar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who held that only specific things that are listed are going to be davar chashiv, but an egg is not an example. Therefore, an egg is not davar chashiv. An egg should be batal, Michael Maimer. What's he going to say from this Brisa? So I'm not sure if we should stop here because this next Gemara goes well into the next page. Okay. We have 10 minutes. Should we start and see where we go and pick up tomorrow, or should we just stop and just start this answer tomorrow? Go for it? Alright, okay. Yeah, perfect, okay. So how does Rabbi Yochanan get out of this? Rabbi Yochanan is stuck right now with this case of talking about a trefa, an egg that's a trefa, and bittul doesn't apply. But bittul should apply. So answer the Gemara as follows.
For 1 second. So basically we are now saying that we could answer that it's talking about a beta shenol that was born from a trefa.
That's what we're talking about, right?
Why? Because originally, because basically, even though in that case, because since there is no tikkun on it, there's not batul b'shishim, and we cannot say that it's chashuv because it's not listed in this.
So bittul should apply, exactly. So why does bittul not apply here? Okay, so the Gemara says as follows. This is the answer. It's going to be, again, going to go well into the next stuff. Amar Papa, Hai Tana, the author of the Brisa above is Tana de Litros Ksios. It's the author, the well-known Tana who taught the lachas of Litros Ksios. What are Litros Ksios? So these are figs that were dried out, Rashi explains to us, in the field, and then they became so hard you need like a saw to cut through these dried out figs. And then they, afterwards, after cutting them up, you would Rashi's dorsin, you'd stamp on them and press them with your feet in a in type of circular type of kli, and they would stick together all these figs and create something like a cheese, like a block of cheese almost. And when you would come to sell them, you'd have to remove it from this kli that it was in. So it sounds like you would, again, you dry out the figs, and then you mash them together into some type of circular kli, mash them to make it like one unit, like a block of cheese. And when you came to sell it, you'd separate the different figs and sell them by the weight, Rashi says. So this is what we're talking about. What does this Tana have to do with what we're talking about? So Gemara says that, again, Hai Tana Tana Delitra Ktiosu Damar Kol Davar Shebiminyan Afilu B'derbanan Lo Batul V'Koshkein B'deraisa. So he says as follows, anything that's biminyan, anything that gets counted, Biminyan, even b'derbanan, is not batal, and kol shekein b'deraisa. So what's this saying here? So even though the iser might be an iser d'rabanan, if it gets sold, biminyan, it's not batal. He argues in the premise we said before. Above we said only specific things that are sold biminyan are not batal. But there is another Bryce, another Tana out there, who argues in Rebbe Meir's, and argues in Rebbe Yochanan's understanding of Rebbe Meir. There's another Tana that held that even anything that's Davar Shebiminyan, anything that gets counted, will be not Batal. And even if the Isser is only Midrabanan, as we'll see in a second, and certainly if the Isser is Deraisa, such as the case of Trefa, a Bittul will apply. Why is that Kol Shekein, though? I'm not sure why it's a Kol Shekein. I'm saying, no, it's fine, low bittul.
The rice, that's what it's called.
Low bittul, right. He says, this halacha, this price, as we'll see, says, anything davar shebiminyan, even though the iser is only midrabanan, we're still machmir not to be mevatel the iser derbanan. Kol shekein, if the iser is a deraisa, we certainly shouldn't apply the bittul. That's the brisa. Okay, so that's the basic answer. The Gemara is going to elaborate on the idea, but the idea being that there is such a bright tana out there that holds that anything that's davar shebiminyan, anything that gets counted, such as the egg, will be not batal, and that explains this. Okay.